You're listening to Rochelle Hunt. Call 1300 222 774 or text 0437 774 774.
Well, I have something delicious and heartwarming and ridiculously cheap in my cupboard at the moment, and it's old school soup mix. A little bit of barley, all of the lentils. It costs about a dollar for a bag, and it warms my heart. Dani Valente, as always, welcome to Afternoons.
Thank you.
We're talking winter soups today. I'd forgotten about the soup mix. I'd made a chicken soup, and I thought, you know what this needs?
Yeah.
It needs a little bit of barley and some lentils, and I've never looked back.
I know exactly the bag you're talking about, and it is such a great pantry staple because it does have just so those different textures, those beautiful grains. Some of them go a little bit more mushy and give your soup some body. Others are nice and nutty. So, yes, I know exactly what you mean. And a handful in a soup is really
a very good thing. And pads it out.
Yes.
It turns, it sort of spreads a meal across into multiple meals. It means you can throw some in the freezer.
Yes.
And everybody's winning.
Yeah. Well, I think you've hit on something that's key to a lot of soups and a lot of soup recipes is that that economy and the way that you can stretch things out. It is a way to get, you know, all the goodness out of bones and all, you know, every last bit of meat, every last trimming from the garden can go into a soup, and it can stretch across a number of meals.
1300 222 774. If you'd like to share your wonderful winter soup specials, your extravaganzas that you bust out every winter. Dani, what about the theory? And I always wonder this, that, you know, when you've got some of your veggies where they're nearing the end of their life, they may be looking a little bit worse for wear in the fridge. Is it worth turning them into a soup, or are you just kind of making a dodgy soup with dodgy veggies because they're not that flash?
Oh, look, I mean, it depends where they've got to. If they're just a little limp, I definitely think that they're talking to you and saying minestrone. So I don't think you want anything that's gone too far. You don't want it
if it's bending
mushy,
over itself.
Yeah.
No.
But if it's just a little bit, you know, if it's just a little bit sad, then I think it'll spark up nicely in a soup. Definitely.
Do you have a favourite?
Oh, doing research for this, you'll see, you'll hear the excitement and the tremor in my voice almost. I realised I could live on soup because you start thinking about soup and it's just every culture, it's every season, it's every type of produce, it's vegetarian, it's meat, it's hearty, it's sparky, it's everything.
It could be simple or it could be really complex as well.
Yeah, exactly. So I suppose I do think seasonally when it comes to soup. So there's a recipe I've just popped up at my website, dannyvalent.com. It's a mushroom cappuccino.
What?
So using seasonal ingredients. Yeah, and this is so I suppose, you know, soup goes into different categories.
Hang on a second. You can't just say mushroom cappuccino and then...
Oh, really?
Can't just leave that one hanging?
So, look, this is a dish that's, I suppose, my interpretation of one of the classic dishes of Nouvelle Cuisine. So that sort of, you know, French movement where it's 70s, 80s. A little bit further back as well. So there's a classic French chef called Alain Chappelle came up with a dish that he called, and I'm going to embarrass myself here, bouillon de champignon comme un cappuccino. Okay.
That doesn't sound embarrassing.
In Melbourne, we can just call it a mushy cap, right?
Yes.
So mushroom cappuccino.
Is that just like a frothy mushroom soup?
Yes, it's just got a little bit of, it's got layers. So it's got a mushroom layer and it's got a layer on top that looks like the frothy milk. And you could froth it or I just do a little bit of cream. That's a fun one.
Well, that's just given me a flashback to being a kid. And whenever I was sick, and this is not fancy or cappuccino-like at all, Mum would always give me a mushroom cuppa soup when I was sick.
Yeah, but you know what? It's that comforting memory of soup. Like, so many of our food memories are associated with comfort. And then I think in turn, so many of those lean to soup. And yeah, I think in our childhood, I think there's always a little bit of cup of soup on the go.
Happy days. Even there's the odd cup of soup getting around the office here a little bit as well. Dani Valente with you. We're sharing our winter soup recipes. Hi, Helen.
Hi.
Yours sounds gorgeous already. What is it?
Well, it's roasted cauliflower and parsnip with some cumin and turmeric. So my husband's favourite vegetable was parsnip, and this was a way to give the parsnip a bit more depth of flavour. So you chop up as much cauliflower and parsnip as you want, pop it in a roasting tin and sprinkle it with cumin and turmeric so it gives it a beautiful golden colour, and then throw that in the oven at, you know, normal roasting temperature. And meanwhile, brown off some onions and a little bit of a really nice golden potato, like maybe a Dutch cream potato. And then choose, if you want to make it vegetarian, you put in vegetable stock. And if you want a bit more grunt, you put in chicken stock. Handful of yellow lentils, so your idea of giving it a bit of grunt. And let that just sort of simmer away until the potato is ready to be kind of whisked. And then throw the roasted vegetables in. And then you blend it as thickly, as smoothly or as chunkily as you want. Little bit of sourdough toast on the side. Yum, yum.
Consume, then nap, basically.
Yeah, the nap is critical.
And is it quite white in colour at the end?
Well, because of the cumin and because of the, if you use the Dutch cream potato and the yellow lentils, it's actually quite golden in colour, so it's really pretty.
And also you do lead us onto this notion of roasting the vegetables. And I think, Michelle, if you do have those vegetables that are a little bit sad, you know, a little bit of spice and some time in the roasting pan, and they just take into another dimension.
It's saying something about the state of my fridge. Good on you, Helen. That sounds delicious. I'm going to give that one a crack. And it's like, you could probably add bits and pieces to it. You could experiment with it a little bit.
You can go nuts. If you want to put some hot, like shred some chicken or whatever you like.
Go nuts, says Helen. She's given you the clearance to do it. Here's some great recipes already. Okay, this is on text 0437 774 774. Lamb shank soup. Ready for the catch? With pickled gherkins.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Okay.
That's a bit wild.
That's pretty wild.
I'd give that a crack, though, I think.
I would, because lamb shanks are so rich, and I think you do want something that will just have a little bit of cut through. So normally I would turn to something like mint, maybe some lemon zest, but I think pickles might do a bit of the same job.
Made butternut pumpkin soup last night on the spur of the moment. That's from Daniel. Pumpkin soup is one that you can whip up really quickly. You've got an instant meal. It doesn't take long at all.
I know. I love those meals where it's basically one vegetable. So it could be pumpkin. It could be sweet potato. Perhaps it's a mix of both. But pumpkin is a beautiful one because you can turn it a little bit Thai. You can take it a little bit to India. You can just keep it, you know, classic sort of British. So it's great.
I've only just recently been able to get back onto the pumpkin soup bandwagon. A million years ago, students really broke and I lived on pumpkin soup to the point where I'm like, if I ever smell or taste pumpkin soup again. But I'm back now.
You're back.
I'm over it. Ladies, I'm currently making orange and carrot soup as we speak. It's great. It's sweet. It's sour. It's spicy. A bit of curry flour, flavour, heavy, hot, nice, not too cold. Don't forget a dollop of yogurt. That's from Robin as well. I sprout lentils and other seeds in jars, adding protein to vegan soups and casseroles. That's from Suzanne.
That's great. So you're taking that sort of cupboard staple of the lentil but turning it into something fresh. I think that's very clever, very nourishing.
Rochelle and Danny, a variation of pumpkin soup, golden soup, pumpkin, sweet potato, carrots, one potato, celery, red and yellow lentils, onion, all boiled up, good stock, yum, 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 a few bay leaves and, ooh, I love these little kicks at the end, a little bit of Vegemite.
Oh, that's so, amazing. I was talking to a chef recently and they were talking about, you know, what are the tricks that chefs know that we don't know? And one of them was things like adding a little bit of Vegemite, adding a tiny bit of tomato sauce, just those little tiny secrets that you wouldn't ever tell anyone unless you were sharing nicely on the radio. You don't need to tell people what's in them, but it's that, you know, that person's
what's
soup
that
has
added,
got that twist. Yeah. We can only get it like that at her place.
I've added a little bit of Vegemite before to my bolognese.
Okay.
And it works.
I've heard that one as well. Yeah, amazing.
I think I was out of stock or something, or I don't know, I was feeling a bit nuts.
Yeah,
and
it's those punches of flavour. So, very clever. Love it.
1-300-222-774 if you would like to share your soup recipes. Danny, any fructose-friendly soup ideas? No onion or garlic or leek?
I do think that you could turn to lentils. So a very simple soup that I do, and I'm just trying to think on the fly if tomatoes are okay. I'm not sure.
I don't know. They would be quite sugary. But I have no idea.
Let us know. But a soup that I do love, and if you are able to eat it, this is a great one. And for anyone who can, it's great too. So lentils, tomato, a little bit of curry powder and water. So and it's so simple, 20 minutes, dinner on the table. I call it my emergency lentil soup because it was born out of a situation where I forgot that I needed to make dinner for the family, looked in the pantry, buying time, saw the lentils, saw the tin of tomatoes, knew I had some curry powder and a little bit of stock, and that's it. So simple.
Oh, that's very useful. People are going to use that. Ladies, I had quite a foodie day on Monday. I smoked a piece of pork belly after curing it for 2 days. And whilst I smoked the pork, I also smoked half a pumpkin, really amazing smoky pumpkin soup. I'm having round two tonight. And with the dying charcoal, I cooked some T-bones for dinner.
Oh, this is legendary. I love this.
Absolutely.
And definitely playing into that idea of, you know, the soup that, you know, that has another day out of it, or the, you know, the bones from the pork as well. You can do something with those. So I just think, yes, yes, I love it.
A question here asking for help. Is it okay? I recently made some lentil soup, lentil and veg soup. I also threw in some leftover veggies from the freezer. Now I have frozen soup, and I'm wondering, is it safe to eat as the leftover veg will have now been thawed twice?
Yeah, it's fine. Just bring it back to a nice hot temperature and just, yeah, just off the boil and it will be okay.
Hi, Nicholas.
Hello.
Hi there, Nicholas. How are you going?
G'day. I'm a dedicated carnivore, so I've got a meat dish, but I've also got the only vegan dish I've ever tried that satisfies meat eaters.
Well, I love to hear about those, because if a meat eater loves a vegan dish, then it has to be full of flavour. So tell me all about it.
Okay, so with the carnivorous one, I get meaty beef bones, and the trick is not to boil them. You put them on the simmer, and every time you're in the kitchen, you just have it simmering, and you can do it over 1 or 2 days. You can. And the longer you leave it, when the meat gets really soft, you can add that to a dish as a meat.
Yeah.
And then you use the broth for making any other meat dish. But then I put a second lot of water into the bones, add a lot of vinegar, and do the same thing for another day or two, and the bones get chalky.
Ah, amazing.
You then use that broth to go into your next, when you're going to boil down your next lot of beef bones, and you're in front when you put that in, because the broth still has quite a lot of flavour. You can use it with pasta and so forth. It gives it a lovely meaty taste. Now, for the vegan dish, the trick is to use 1 cup of grains to 2 cups of beans. So if you're going to use lentils, I use pearl barley.
Okay.
And I do it in 2 dishes. So the lentils you just boil up. I get rid of the first quarter, then cook them till they're soft. But what you do is you get a pan, you chop up carrots, onions, celery, the whole works, and then you saute those. But the trick is, you put your 1 cup of pearl barley in there and you treat it like you do a risotto. You pop and crackle.
Okay. So you stir it out?
Yeah. So once it's popped and crackled, you then add your water to that and you just keep on adding vegetables, broccoli, Brussels sprout. The things that cook really quickly, you add at the very last minute, but you do add thick tomato paste, nice ripe tomatoes if you've got them. You build that up into a sort of a bit of a brew. And when the lentils are softly cooked, you add the lentils to it and you cook it slowly. So the combination of the lentils and the pearl barley gives you the balancing amino acids.
Wow. Well, it sounds...
It's detailed.
Yes.
And you do add a big dollop of Vegemite and let that simmer over a couple of days. The more days you let it simmer over, the deeper the flavours get. You get a really intense beefy flavour, even though it's a fully vegan dish.
That's incredible. You do sound like an expert in extracting last ounce of flavour out of your ingredients.
So good on you, Nicholas. Excuse my coughing too. Just when I thought I was over my cough, it comes back. It's all this talk of soup.
I need a nice chicken soup.
I need a chicken broth of some description. It's been a terrible cold, this one. Some wonderful ideas in terms of not using onion. Try different things like curried zucchini soup. That might help. Lentils are no good for fructose-friendly options, apparently. Homemade slow-cooked veggie soup. Comfort food for winter. A big pot in the freezer. Yum. Serving sizes. That is our Sunday night. Vegemite's not gluten-free, apparently. And when there are so many beautiful vegetables in the world, why would you put any meat into a soup?
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to. It's a great thing. You can get so much flavour out of vegetables and grains. But I think, you know, if you are even trying to eat less meat, then I think soup can be such a good thing, because you can just wring every last ounce of value out of even a small piece of meat. So if I do a chicken soup, I will make a stock with that carcass, and then I'll even turn the carcass into pet food. So it's really that sort of no waste approach to using meat, really valuing the meat that you do choose to use.
Cauliflower and cheese cheese soup has come up a few times. How would see cheese in soup? Wouldn't it just go stringy?
Is that melted cheese on top, sort of like a French onion soup?
Possibly.
Or I don't mind a bit of, you know, cheese pull with my soup, but I would only think of it as like a little sprinkle of Parmesan on top of minestrone or something like that. Not so much through the soup, but interested to hear what people might be doing with that.
Replacements: try fennel, celery and radish instead of onion and garlic and leek. That's some more ideas as well. 1300 222 774, and you can text 0437 774 774. Now, there's some unusual soups as well, Danny, even when you can put fruit into soups.
Yeah, so I think you'd probably think more of a summer soup, a cool fruit soup, but there is a Swedish soup that uses dried fruit, so soaked for a long time, perhaps thickened with sago or tapioca to create a soup dessert, which I think sounds rather lovely.
Soup dessert?
Yes. Why not just have soup for every single meal?
Why not? I need all of these recipes. Please, will they be on an app later on? Talking lentils, do they have to be soaked before adding them to soups? That's a good question.
It depends how long you're cooking them for. And look, there is this school of thought that thinks you need to cast away the first soaking water from lentils, or the first cooking water. If I'm using red lentils, they do cook so quickly that I definitely wouldn't do that. I just love the fact that you can throw them in and they soften really quickly. I think if you're cooking a grain such as barley or black lentils for a longer time, then you could drain that water away.
We were talking about little weird alternatives and sneaky things that people add into their soups or their dishes. Okay, do you want to hear some great ones?
Of course.
So equal quantity of sweet potato and pumpkin, a bit of curry powder, coriander stock, and then just before you whiz it up at the end, a large spoonful of peanut butter.
Whoa. That's interesting. I mean, there are peanut soups. So there's in Africa, peanut soup is quite common. So eaten with some sort of starchy, like a sort of baked bread, or like a soft bread. A bit of peanut butter. I mean, look, there is flavour there, and I guess there's often salt. So it could be the thing. Could be a great trick.
Pear is another secret ingredient for soup.
Yeah. I think, I mean,
sweeten it up, thicken it up a little bit, possibly.
Yeah, and sometimes just depending on the pear, you could have a little bit of acid coming through as well. Mm. So very, very nice.
Adrian in Fitzroy says, just a quick tip I learned in Italy: save your Parmesan rinds and then throw one in your minestrone. It makes a richer and a super delicious soup.
Mm, yeah, so those deep flavours from Parmesan, that is a great tip. And you can also pop your Parmesan rind in some olive oil and you'll have those beautiful flavours through the oil as well.
Now, it is a time, and it may be just me, where we're all getting a little sick, and a bit coffee and soup and chicken soup in particular, or broths, are something that just make you feel a little bit better, even if it is just psychologically. But what's a really good sort of simple take-home chicken soup recipe, Danny?
Okay, so I do like to keep it really simple and thinking about those winter vegetables and winter flavours. So I'd use root vegetables, so carrots, onion, garlic, turnip, parsnip and saffron. So saffron's my little twist because I think it just adds such a beautiful depth of flavour. And saffron is really, it loves the fat. So as the fat comes out of the chicken, it just rounds out the flavour so beautifully. And you get that beautiful colour that I think makes you look, it's a sunny colour. I think it adds that
when you're not feeling quite
so
sunny.
I know, you need a little bit more sunshine in your life in winter. So I think it even does. I think that psychological fact, you know, we know that soup is associated with comfort, and I think any sort of
there
comfort we can get out of it.
Medicinal soups though, aren't there? I mean,
oh my goodness,
there's proof that they can heal.
Well, I mean, who needs proof when, you know, you've got it a steaming bowl of chicken soup and it just is so nourishing. I mean, every culture's got a chicken soup, so there's got to be something in it, right? But I think Chinese culture perhaps takes that sort of medicinal notions to whole new levels, and there are some really quite interesting ingredients that are put into some Chinese soups. The craziest one that I've had, and it was at a restaurant in the city called Secret Kitchen, they've got a section of medicinal soups, and when I tried to order one, they tried to steer me away from it. No, young lady, I don't think you'll want to go there.
No,
but I did,
and
it's a soup with cordyceps. So cordyceps is a parasitic fungus. There are many different types of it. This particular one, uses caterpillars as its host from a particular part of a mountain in northern China.
Where did you order this?
In the city. It's called Secret Kitchen. I think it's the corner of Russell and Little Bourke. It's an amazing restaurant and they do have medicinal soups. And so, you know, cordyceps is harvested at great trouble, and it cures everything basically. So your kidneys, livers, you know. It's
How did it taste? Disgusting.
No, it tastes quite, I mean, there's other things in the broth as well, so you won't just have that, but it was It was with chicken, berries. No, it was with pork, dried scallops. So there's lots of different flavours and a long brewed broth. So it, I don't know, it tasted a little bit mushroomy. But, you know, I felt very vigorous as I left the restaurant.
Yeah, and I could imagine that you did. Hi, Conrad, you're in Narre Warren. What's your soup?
Yes, I've got a cabbage soup. It's a Polish type soup. So it's got white cabbage, carrot, potatoes, chicken stock, a bit of garlic and tomatoes in it, and you cook it up for about 2 hours so the cabbage just soaks right in and you get that cabbage juice mixing in with the tomato and the garlic, and you add...
How does the house smell though, Conrad? I know in the 80s cabbage soup, it was a big diet, and my was on it, my nan was on it, my aunties
went on it for a while. Yeah.
And the house, it was a funky smell, I have to say.
The trick, if you've got the freezer space, you chop up the cabbage beforehand, put it in the freezer, you take it out, defrost it, and it's already soaked and it's got the water, and it only takes about 30 minutes to cook.
Okay.
There we go. He's got the tips on how to not get the cabbage funk in the household when you're making the soup. Danny, cooked or raw bones for chicken soup or stock is a question for you.
So what I do with mine is I use a whole chicken, and so it's raw, and I cook it up with all the other ingredients so that they all sort of cook at the same time. Then I pick the meat from the bones. Often there's too much meat for one batch of soup, so I'll save some of the chicken meat for sandwiches or what have you. And then I'll use that cooked carcass to make a stock that I'll keep for later. So you get extra use out of that chicken.
I do a chicken, sweet potato and peanut soup. We're talking about peanuts in soup. Obviously, if you've got people in your household with allergies, this is not something we would suggest. But if you don't, peanuts are making a big appearance in soups today.
I mean, I guess you can use them like a pulse, put in the whole peanuts, and if they're unsalted, of course. And, they'll go nice and soft. I'm going to try that one.
My teenagers eat this one for breakfast. Every week I cook up a big pot of beef, barley and veggie soup. No better way to start the day. I just remembered my neighbour used to have soup, chicken soup for breakfast, and I found it odd at the time, but I can sort of see that now.
Well, I mean, throughout Asia, there's soup eaten for breakfast. It might be a rice sort of porridge, a soupy porridge called congee, or in Vietnam, you might be having your pho early in the morning. So, I mean, when I was in Beijing, I had a very spicy tofu noodle soup for breakfast, and I honestly felt that I was zooming through the day, just a little bit of spice in the morning. And
no
I was...
caterpillars in there on that one?
Not that they told me about. No.
Could have been. Danny Valente, as always, thank you so much. If people would like to get your mushroom cappuccino recipe or any other soup recipes, I dare say there's a few on your website at the moment.
Definitely. And actually, I'm serving soup this weekend at the Truffle Festival at the Queen Vic Market. So all weekend.
Oh, what sort of soup? Truffle soup?
Leek potato and truffle. So come eat my soup at Truffle Melbourne at Queen Vic Market. I'll be there all weekend.
Working.
Be nice.
Be nice, yes. Give her a little cuddle if she needs it. Danny Valente, thank you so much. And thank you for all of your wonderful ideas and little secrets when it comes to soup.